So I'm a few months into using Barefaced skincare every day, and like so many of you who have tried these products, I am loving them. The first thing I noticed was a change in the texture of my skin and the size of my pores. But my favorite thing about Barefaced is that I noticed my skin glowing in a way it hasn't in years. It just looks healthier. I've gone from a bathroom counter scattered with a hodgepodge of products to a simple skincare regimen that is easy to be consistent with every day. Barefaced was founded by nurse practitioner Jordan Harper, who is passionate about science-backed skincare education, and she shares the best skincare tips over on their Barefaced Instagram. You can even text her team of skincare specialists for a complimentary consult to answer any questions you may have. They will recommend exactly what you need from the comfort of your couch. Their number is on the Barefaced Instagram, and I'll put the number in the show notes as well. They're big fans of the podcast and have offered Got It From My Mama podcast listeners 15% off their first purchase by using code MAMA15. Welcome back to the podcast. We are in the midst of a special series where we're interviewing the mothers of high-profile athletes. The odds of a college athlete making it into the pros is 1.6%. Isn't that crazy? What's even crazier is that Diane Gronkowski gave birth to five boys, and all five played in the pros, one in the MLB and four in the NFL, including fan favorite, the Gronk, Rob Gronkowski. Fans love hearing how Diane did it, so much so that she wrote a book a while back, and the title is pretty appropriate, Outnumbered. Hear firsthand how she did it in my conversation with Mama Gronk, Diane Gronkowski. Well, we could not do a series of interviews with moms of athletes without talking to Mama Gronk, that's for sure. Five boys, four that had experience in the NFL, one in the MLB. I mean, does that still to this day, when you think about it, kind of blow your mind?
It sure does, because you hear a lot of stories about this one or that one, whatever, but it's one and this is five. So, you know, five out of five. Yes, it is amazing. It is.
Absolutely. And you didn't really set out to raise these boys who would become really excel in what they do for a living. You were just trying to raise good gentlemen, right?
Well, that's the truth, because, you know, the odds are really against you as far as anyone getting, you know, anywhere pro. There's so much competition. There's the injuries, there's schooling, you know, there's so many things that, are really against you. And your size, your weight, what they're looking for that year in the draft. You might be great at your position and they're not looking for someone in that position that year. So there's so many things that are against you. So there's so many people out there that try so hard to do, you know, and achieve their goals, but there's just so much against. But this worked out, and actually worked out for all five of them, which is amazing, because there's so many things that can go wrong.
So let's go back to a household with five little Gronkowski boys running around. They were all about 2 years apart. Is that right?
The first four were in 5 years. And then Gwen was about 4 years later. Yeah.
You needed a little break in there, right?
Yes.
So tell me about their personalities when they were little boys. Were they all very unique?
You know, they were. And their personalities have just really carried over to adulthood. I can look back and see how they did certain things as kids, and they're still the same way now. Their personalities really have carried over and stuck with them the whole way, each one of them. And, you know, being in professional sports didn't change their personalities. They didn't become fake or, you know, a different person. What you see is what you get. It's always what you got.
Yeah. With Rob in particular, you've described him as just kind of always this positive, sunny side up, smiling yes. kid. And in your book, I noticed you called him kind of the tension diffuser.
Well, yeah, you know what? He has just always been a happy person. And whatever's going on is just great with him. Like, he doesn't really, you know, it doesn't matter. Everything's great. And he just doesn't let things bother him. He just has such a great personality. But they all have very positive attitudes. So, you know, it kind of carries over with all of them. But Rob just seems to be a little bit more. And so that's, I think, where the entertaining part comes with him, because mm-hmm. he's just a little bit more than the rest of them. And he's a goofball and he just likes to have fun. And, you know, he's considered this big partier, and yet he hardly ever drinks. He's, you know, alcohol, drugs, it just isn't anything that they've been exposed to, at least not at home. You know, I don't know, at college, probably things, you know, are different. But, you know, at least they were smart, stayed away from all that. So, and plus, when you're a pro, you can't do those things.
Right. You know, I mean, your body comes first and taking care of it, right?
Oh, and they're doing urine tests constantly. And they're just a surprise. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, they are going to test you. And if they call you, you have to be tested within 24 hours. Doesn't matter what part of the earth you're on. If you don't have a professional athlete, you don't realize what goes into it. You know, as a child, I thought, oh, you know, they just stand out there and they play a couple games a year and they make all this money and so what? And not realizing that it's a 365-day-a-year commitment. Everything you say, everything you eat, everything you do is being criticized. So life.
One of the downfalls of fame, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if you're smart and you stay out of trouble, you really don't have to worry about a lot of criticism or anything, because you didn't do anything wrong.
You mentioned Rob's boisterous personality. So I think that in addition to being an exceptional athlete on the field, he would naturally have a lot of fans of the teams he's played for, the Patriots and the Buccaneers. But don't you think that that personality of his is what makes him like the most popular jersey and the most popular like sports personality to follow, because he is just so fun?
Oh, he is so fun. People just want to be with him because he is so much fun. So you're right. it just people gravitate to him because he's smiling, he's happy, and he's always happy to see people, and he greets people, you know, wherever we go. He, you know, he's like, yeah, come on over, take a selfie with me. That's great. You know, he's just such a positive, fun person.
You tell some great stories in your book. It's called Outnumbered, and you were outnumbered as the only female on the team, right?
Yes. And then we ended up getting a dog, and it was a male dog. And finally, one day I said, okay, we need to change something. So we ended up getting a female dog also.
So, there you go, a little partner.
Rosie was my little female partner. Exactly.
One of the stories that you told in the book, you kind of take us to a moment where, I mean, this had all been, of course, going on for a while, but where you're in the fan store with all the jerseys and all of the people. And I wanted to read a quote that you said, because I loved it so much. But you were in, I guess, kind of the, whatever you call the pro shop inside one of the stadiums. Right. And you said, right. My goofball, always brawling with his brothers, all pro, adorable son, is a hero to thousands of strangers. When you look around and see your name on the back of a jersey, yes, or people who, you know, somewhat, I guess, kind of worship Rob as this player, I bet it just blows your mind as a mom.
Well, it does. But I'm hoping that it's more important too, that it's not just the player, it's the person and the things that he does and the things all five of them do, because they still continue to do to this day, for the community. They are constantly working on doing things for the community to give back. So, you know, when people have his jersey, I hope they're not just thinking of him as the player, but him as the person that, you know, gives back and loves people and loves the fans. Because he does, and it's such a big part of his life is giving back to the community and kids. They have their Grant Nation Youth Foundation, and they just raise millions to give back. It all goes back. We did a fundraiser near here. I'm in the Fort Myers area, and we did one here and gave back to three different organizations near here that really needed the money. So it's all over. It's all over the U.S.
I'm sure those are the things that make you more proud than any performance on the field.
Well, it is. It is, you know, they all pretty much, I mean, they're human, but you know, for the most part, they stayed out of trouble. I didn't have, you know, the police at the door, you know, or having to get them out of jail, or, you know, we didn't deal with the drugs or the alcohol. So, you know what? They're just all just really good, hardworking, but you're not going to get that far in life if you find yourself in trouble all the time.
I know you've said that this is your most asked question, but how in the world did you feed five boys? And not just five boys. I mean, having five kids isn't that unusual, but you had five rather large boys with really big stomachs to feed.
I know. I talked to people and I was like, well, you know, my daughter had a salad, or she had a half a sandwich, or, you know, this was just gallons and gallons of milk and loaves of bread. And, you know, it didn't matter what it was. They just ate it. So one time someone said, boy, your garbage can's so small in your kitchen. And I said, well, they eat everything. We don't throw anything out. So they loved it. And, you know, they brought all their friends over, and there were a lot of kids that came and stayed at the house. And, you know, and you having your two sons, they bring friends over. And a lot of the friends, the parents weren't home. And the kids want the parents to be home when they come home. They don't want to walk into an empty house. And these kids came and they ate there. They slept over. And some of them never left. Some of them stayed for years because their parents weren't really around. And so they stayed. So I had even more. I was really even more outnumbered than with my own father.
Some of the practical things, you had two refrigerators, two freezers, went through about 2 gallons of milk a day, 40 pounds of chicken. Just some of those statistics just blow my mind. But you really dedicated yourself and found joy in feeding your family and, you know, making those famous recipes, which you also include several of those in the book. Mm-hmm. But you found joy in that. And one of the things when you and I talked in setting up this interview is that it really bothers you in the way that some people perceive or will use the term just a stay-at-home mom when it's really one of the highest callings a woman can have.
Well, you know, you carry this child, you feel this child growing inside you. You're tickling its feet, you know, when it's inside you and it's pushing its foot out, you know, and you can see its foot and, you know, and then you give birth and then you have, you know, this human being. Just that alone is the bond you get with just being pregnant, you can't describe it to someone who's never had a child. So just that bond itself. I miss them now, you know, they're older, they're gone. They all live in different states. You know, it's hard to see them. They have, you know, having their own kids and, but yeah, it's to be a stay-at-home mom and the kids come home every day and they come in the door and they have their friends and they're excited to see you. And yes, feeding them, because when they get home, they want to eat. And it's continued now. It's all these years later and still, you know, like Rob's coming this week. Well, he's like, what are we going to have for dinner? Like, you know, like he always asks me, what are we going to have when I get there? And I'll say, well, I was thinking of this. He's like, oh, that's great. Great. You know, like he's still excited to, like, he wants to know what we're going to have and
I love,
or he'll say, please, right. Or can you make this, you know, so it still is something that carries over, in feeding them.
I saw a video. I'm not sure if it was a TikTok video or what, but you were visiting one of the boys and one of the suitcases was just food you were bringing him. Is that a common occurrence?
Oh, yes. Every time I go to Dallas, I have one suitcase that they always look for and I fill it to 50 pounds. It's got 50 pounds of homemade food. I have the suitcase will have, a bunch of soft-sided coolers inside of it. So if I'm making my homemade jam, I'll freeze it so then things stay cold, or anything that can be frozen. So then when I put it in those coolers, it just stays cold for the flight. But it's always 50 pounds. One time I was over by like a pound and the girl at the counter said, well, you know, so I went, okay. So I opened it up and I took a couple like homemade cookies or something out and I gave them to her and she goes, okay, you're good. And it's like, you know,
that is a great story. And one of the things they always want you to make when you show up is that famous chicken souffle. I heard Rob say that it could be the credit for his success.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was hoping that maybe I was a little bit more, you know, besides the food, but.
Right.
Yeah. The feeding was a big necessity. And I think my daughter-in-laws are starting to realize, wow, you know, you really can just stay in the kitchen all day long because they're eating and then they want to eat again. I said, like, my kids had like a pre-breakfast, a breakfast, a post-breakfast, and then they had a pre-lunch, a lunch, and a post-lunch, and a pre-dinner, and a dinner, and a post-dinner, and then somebody before they went to bed. So it was just like, I mean, constant.
Constant.
It's constant. Yeah. You could just stay in the kitchen all day. I mean, you had to leave because you had to go get more groceries, but then besides.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if you weren't in the kitchen, you were in the car because there was at least one season where you had boys on 13 different teams.
Yes. Yeah. It was a baseball season. Yes. 13 different teams at the same time. Yep. They had travel teams and they had house teams and they had all-star teams and a lot of driving.
And you didn't miss much of that, did you?
No. I was lucky. Where the kids were in Williamsville, New York there was a Lou Gehrig baseball diamond and there were 10 diamonds in one spot. So it really worked out well because they were all be playing at a different time or even at the same time. But I could just be there and just walk from diamond to diamond or just I could see them from wherever I was, you know, stationed. I could see them.
So you didn't just set up your chair like the other moms and just sit on the side of the fence and watch because you were having to rotate fields.
right. So they started out with hockey when they're five and all five of them played hockey. And so all five out there at one time. That was tougher because you were all over the place. There was one rink here and one rink there. So it was really hard to do the hockey, but we did it for 20 years. Baseball started when they were like six. You could start when you were six. And hockey started about five or six. So we did those. And then basketball, they started in middle school and football, they started in middle school.
They did it all.
They still had their, you know, tennis and their volleyball and their swimming and their water skiing and their snow skiing and, you know, all those things in there too. But, you know, the majors were those four sports that we did.
I thought it was interesting that to learn, first of all the boys were honor students. They took their grades very seriously. I'm guessing that came from mom. Definitely emphasizing the importance of their education, not knowing what the sports journey would lead to. And then I also thought it was interesting that you were not a mom who necessarily harped on chores and making your bed and cleaning your room, but it was more important to you that they were good students and that they were respectful of other people.
Well, exactly. You know, and they didn't, those things weren't important to me. You know, the house is cleaned up, but their bedrooms, if you don't want to make your bed, then don't make your bed. I'm not the one that has to get in it, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, there were things that you can't pick, you know,
pick your battles,
Right. You have to pick your battles and why make it things like that? Why those things just aren't important in the big scheme. You know, the things that were more important were what, like you said, you know, being a nice person and doing well in school. And I didn't have to fight with them about doing their schoolwork. You know, we knew just started out at a young age that, okay, you know, maybe you have a hockey tournament Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but you have a project due Monday. So that means you have to do the project Wednesday and Thursday ahead of time. So these are just things that, you know, you start out at a young age teaching them these things. And that's, you know, you just fall into those patterns of doing things like that. This was all learning to me, too, as I went along. I didn't know. I never had a pro athlete. I didn't really know anything about sports. I wasn't exposed to it as a youngster. So, you know, I was learning as I went along. And luckily, not knowing how important their schoolwork was, because for instance, you get to college, they're not going to invest in you, put you on a team in college, invest a lot of money, a lot of time and everything. And then you get there and you just think everything's a big joke and you're just there for sports and school isn't important. And then you don't do well in school. If you're not passing, you don't, you know, you can't play.
So this is one of the things I thought was interesting when we talked on the phone, and I thought, okay, that is such great advice. But sports fans are extremely passionate one way or the other. And so I loved your perspective on how you deal with the negativity and being in a stadium where people are booing your son or reading an article where you know that what you're reading isn't true, like how you've dealt with some of that.
Well, the best thing to do is just stay away from it. If you're going somewhere, it's best that you don't let people know who you are. You just wear, you know, a plain jersey to, you know, a game, especially if it's an away game, which I didn't go to very many of those. But if you did, just wear, you know, wear a plain jersey. It's better if people don't know.
What are some things you experienced with when you would wear a Patriots jersey with Gronkowski on the back, like in the early days? Well, what were some of the things you experienced?
You know, personally, I didn't. I really didn't. Nobody was ever negative to me personally, but I know what they could do. I kept myself out of the situation so that I never had to deal with it. As far as going to games, like I said, if I did go to an away game, I just wore a plain jersey. So I kept myself out of the situation. I didn't have to worry about fans on the other team saying things. You know, there's a couple of teams that the kids said, oh, don't come to the game here. You know, and if you just, you know, keep yourself away from the situation. Don't even put yourself in it. And as far as reading things, articles, I tend to stay away from reading anything because there's so many things that just aren't true. And it's crazy how many things aren't true. And actually, you wonder how much research some of these reporters do, because one time one of them thought that Chris was Glenn. So they were interviewing Glenn, but it wasn't. It was Chris. And so he was pretending then that he was Glenn, but he was really Chris. So he was saying all these really great things about Chris because they thought it was Glenn. So he's actually saying, and then years later, some report comes out and I'm reading some little thing and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the article. They took part of the article from 3 years ago and they put it back in. That's when, you know, the two of, because Glenn and Chris look alike. It's a funny little story that one time Glenn had to go to Chris's house to take a shower. They kind of live near each other, but Glenn didn't have any hot water. And he went over to Chris's house and took a shower in Chris's room. And Chris's little, well, he's got three sons and a daughter. But at the time, the little two-year-old boy saw Glenn coming out of the bathroom. And he looked at him and he said, two daddies. So he... Yeah, because that's how much they look alike. He knew it wasn't Chris. Yeah. And he looked at him and he said, two daddies.
You mentioned that he has a daughter. What was it like to get the granddaughter for the first time?
Yeah, well, Dan has a daughter also. And actually, so Dan had boy, girl, and then a boy, and now expecting another girl. And Chris and Brittany had boy, and then girl. So at first there were five boys, I believe, before the first girl came along, four or five boys before the first girl.
Wow.
Now we're getting a couple girls in there. So we'll see what happens with the other three boys if they have kids, and hopefully we can even it out a little bit more.
I saw the sweetest picture, though, where the babies have come home in the same outfit that you brought your boys home in.
Yes. So all five of my boys came home from the hospital in the same little outfit. And it was this yellow, it was probably some little cheap thing. I don't even know where I got it. This little yellow with blue sleeves. And they just, all five of them, the only time they wore it was home from the hospital. And then I found it. And so Chris and Brittany, Chris ended up with it. And so all, even his daughter, came home. So the three boys and his daughter came home from the hospital in the same outfit. So that's the only time
that is so sweet
from the hospital. I know.
If you're not using the Core 4 products for long-term skin health, you're likely very underwhelmed by the results of your skincare routine. Think of building your skincare routine like building a house. You need a solid foundation, otherwise your house will collapse. The same thing applies to your skin. If you're not using the Core 4, your skin lacks the resources to be healthy. So what are the Core 4 products? A vitamin C, SPF, an exfoliant, and a retinoid. These four products protect, repair, and strengthen the skin, and they are the first four products that are really worth investing in because they are the powerhouse of your routine. Barefaced makes it easy to get started with these four essentials with their Bare Necessities Bundle. This bundle can be customized to your skin type when you take the 5-minute skin quiz on barefaced.com. They even break down exactly how to use each product and how to introduce them into your routine. Super simple and effective. Hey, got it from my mama listeners. Get a discount code. Use MAMA15 to get 15% off your first barefaced purchase. So with football season approaching, what will it be like for you to not be either at the games in person in Tampa or to be have an appointment set to sit down and watch those games? Like it's been your life for so long now.
Well, all the sports. I mean, watching my kids play has been 35 years. But now I can start watching my grandkids play. So they're doing hockey and they're doing baseball. I don't live near any of them, so it's, you know, hard to see them. But when I do go see them, I'll get to watch whatever sport's going on at the time. So a lot of years, 35. Well, actually, I was sitting down a couple of days ago to watch the Buccaneers preseason game. And, you know, you watch it and it's like, gosh, it's only been 2 years and the names, there's not very many familiar names anymore. Like how fast the teams turn over. And it was really hard to watch because I wasn't watching one of my kids, you know? Yeah.
Without your own kids on the field, though, will you follow the NFL, is that just kind of ingrained in you now? Or do you feel like your purpose before was supporting your kids?
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
You know, I will keep track of the teams, but I won't sit down and watch the game. It might be on, but I'll be doing other things, passing through once in a while, you know, to check it out. It definitely is so different not seeing my kids out there. I mean, 35 years straight of watching them, and every single thing I did was watching them. So it's hard to not watch. So, but you know, you still follow and it's interesting. And all of the teams that they were on were just so great. They had really wonderful careers.
Another story that was one of my favorites in your book. And I would guess that this is one of those moments where you just realize that, okay, this is huge. This whole Rob Gronkowski thing is huge, but it was that game with the Cleveland Browns in 2013 and a trip to the hospital. It was very eye-opening in how he was treated as a top player in the NFL.
It is amazing. It's something you don't know about until it happens. right. So we get in the ambulance at the stadium. We're headed down whatever the major route is from Foxborough to up to Mass General. And they actually – so we've got these it was cold out and we had these motorcycle police officers in front escorting the ambulance, and they shut off every entrance ramp to the highway. So we're going all the way and there's nobody on the road. And like, so see those things that they're crazy. Like you don't realize.
You would have never expected that.
I was just amazed. I was like, Oh my God. I didn't know they did that stuff. So yeah, they got him there. We went in like a back entrance. So nobody knew. He didn't have a name. He had a number. So nobody could come in and check, you know, to see where he was. They had a police officer at the door of the, in the emergency room at the door. So nobody could come in. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I'm sure. So that was an injury that had happened on the field during that Browns game, but there's been so many concussions. And I mean, that's part of playing in the NFL, I guess. And maybe even when they were, before they played at that level, I don't know if in high school and college and all of that, but how did you as mom deal with just the worry anytime your kids were on the field in such an aggressive sport?
Well, we didn't have a lot of injuries when they were growing up. Their injuries were more in the pros. But the, I'm just not a worrier. People are say, oh, I bet you're so glad they're all retired because now you don't have to like worry about them getting hurt. And I said, I would sit down to watch a game, whether it was in person or on television, and never did it cross my mind of, oh, I hope they don't get hurt.
Wow.
I just am not a worrier. Where is it going to get you? So yeah, they got hurt. And then when they get hurt, you go, okay, what do we need to do? What's the next step? And it's the hard part is they get hurt and you're watching it on TV and you don't realize. And now when I watch a game, doesn't matter what sport it is. I watch a game and I see someone get hurt right away. I go, oh my gosh, their poor mother. Because if their mother isn't there and you're watching on TV, you have no way to find out what's going on. And you don't realize then at that point, I finally realized I'm relying on the cameraman. That's what I'm relying on. The cameraman show me, is he going to the blue tent? Is he going to the bench? Is he going to the locker room? Or is he being taken off on a gurney? So you kind of have divided it. This is for football, you know, divided kind of into four scenarios. And so you go, okay, he got up and he walked to the bench. Well, that's the best thing. The blue tent, they're trying to figure out, you know, something, but at least he walked to it. You know, with Rob, with that injury, no, they had to carry him off, you know, and he had no idea. The funny thing is, like I said, and him being the character that he is, we were down in, before we left to the hospital, to go to the hospital in the ambulance, we're down in the locker room and he kind of forgot I was there. And then he started realizing that he knew I was there. And then he says, he's like, well, you know, what happened? I go, well, you know, you went up to catch the ball and they took your legs out and he came down and he says, did I catch the ball? Like he was all worried.
Of course he did.
And I said, well, you caught it, but one foot was in, one foot was out. So he did. Yeah. So
he was more worried about whether he caught the ball than.
Yeah. Yeah. I go, well, you did catch it. Yes. But I'm just not a worrying kind of person. And so I guess maybe that's a really good thing to have, you know, when you have five boys that are so.
I was about to say, which is the perfect personality or character trait to have for raising five rough and tumble athletes.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't worry about that.
So how have you adjusted to the empty nest? I mean, five boys, I mean, that's 30 years of, you know, somebody in the house all the time and all the activity. Would you say that you handled that well? Have you been good about kind of focusing attention on yourself and maybe doing some things that you always wanted to do, but you couldn't because you were driving a conversion van of five boys around?
I know. You know, it's hard. It's really, you would think that, okay, yeah, I'm going to start, you know, doing all these. It's hard to do that because you're so used to doing everything for everybody else. And it, for me, it's very hard to then turn around and just focus on just myself. Moved to Florida. My husband, Mike, and I started a home watch business. We have about 220, 230 homes that we check because people leave here for 6 months or longer. Some people leave for years. They don't come back for years. They just leave their place empty.
So you help the snowbirds, right?
Yes. Yes. So we are here. You know what? We are so busy that I don't have time to sit around and think of, you know, something to do. We're just
and I'm guessing busy. If you do travel, it's probably to go see a grandchild somewhere, right?
Well, right. I want to go see the kids. I want to see the grandkids. Glenn moved into a new house a couple months ago. So we flew to Texas. He's in Texas also. We could only do it for the weekend because of our business. So we flew Friday night, came home Sunday night. But we worked, you know, and did a bunch of stuff at his house while we were there. But we saw Chris and his kids too, his family also while we were there. So it was.
So you've got two in the same area, right? Is that the only place you can go and see both?
Yes. Yes. It wasn't like that. It was five different states. But then Glenn ended up moving to Texas, the Dallas area. So two of them are about a half an hour apart. Dan's in Buffalo. Gordy was in Ohio for many, many years, but now he's in Massachusetts in the Boston area. And then Rob kind of is in the Boston area, but sometimes he's in Florida and he's in LA and you don't know where he is. You know,
is he the hardest? He's the hardest one to keep up with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with the cell phones, it's like you could just be anywhere. So you just don't know where any of them are when you call them.
Which of the five boys would you say is most like you in personality?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I can answer that question.
Hmm.
No one's ever asked me that question before, you know.
Really?
No, that.
Well, yes. Then it's fair for you to have to think about that.
Wow.
The other question I love to ask is what would you say, we'll use Rob for this one, but what would you say that Rob in particular got from his mama?
Organization. As far as, he got my big brown eyes.
So yes, he did.
Yes.
Yes.
What else? And his organization, being organized, having, I always like to have a big calendar on the wall, one of those real big, big calendars, and I could write everything on it. So everybody knew what was going on. If I wasn't there, who's getting
it? Did you color code the boys on the calendar?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. but he, you know, he likes to still, and Chris does too. They still like to have their calendars, even though you have your phone, but a calendar, you got the whole month. It's big. You can look at it and just kind of, it gives you a whole different sense than just looking at a day or two or three on your phone, you know, of what's coming up.
Yeah, so. I can't do the phone thing. I still have to have the big fold out, you know, calendar that goes everywhere with me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have my phone because I do, you know, 30, 40 stops a day with my customers. But I so it's packed. But I still like to have the big calendar. I want to see what is going on and what's coming up next week for all my personal things.
Do you still have the goal of hitting all 31 NFL stadiums?
I am still working on it. So last year I did go to a new one. I did go to Cincinnati last December. So I maybe this December, January, because that's really the only time I can go far is with our business. We have to stay in Florida for our business because people leave and that's when we have to stay here. So we're kind of opposite everybody else. But maybe December I can try to hit up another one this year. So that would be good.
Yeah. And I think you haven't been to Tennessee yet. So maybe you can come here and hit the Tennessee Titans.
I will. That one would be a good one to do.
That would be fun. So you're going to have to let me know if you decide to do that this year and we'll make it happen and we'll meet up.
Okay. All right. Get my book on there.
Yes, I am. It's so funny. When we started, I had left it over on my coffee table. So I'm glad you have it on there. But the book is so good. And I love that you finally, you know, you got so many questions from people all the time. You were like, you know what? It's time to just write it down and tell the story, right?
Well, right. And, you know, there's things in there. There's not everything. You know, it just, I think a lot of people that read it end up saying, gosh, it just brings me back to all of that work that I did all those years for those kids, you know, just reminding them of so many things that happened. You know, you tend to forget, you move on, you know, it's like, wow, driving them everywhere and everything you did, every single thing you do when you get up, you know, the whole day is for them. But you know what? It paid off as far as, you know, they're good. They kind of had, you know, their dreams come true. And, you know, they're good guys and good citizens. And now they're becoming good fathers. And so
no, that must be so delightful to watch. And, you know, I think you say it in the book, but you talk about how, you know, the sign of a successful parent is when your kids don't need you. But it's also the hardest part of being a parent is when your kids don't need you, right?
That is the truth. That is the truth. Your goal as a parent is to raise them to be independent, to be good people, a good person, you know, carry their own weight, you know. Yeah. But then when they do it, then you don't like it. You know,
I know. I listen.
And then exactly. I don't like this. I don't like this. Now they don't call me for anything. They don't need me.
Exactly. I still get thrilled when I see a kid walking up the sidewalk with a big basket of laundry. I'm like, yes, I'll do that for you.
You know, my kids all went away to college so far that they didn't come home. They didn't come home for the summer.
Yeah.
They didn't come home for the Thanksgiving or Christmas. They had practice on Thanksgiving. They had practice on Christmas, and they were so far away that they couldn't come home. So none of them.
There was nothing normal about your schedule.
No, they left. Yeah. So
That's crazy. Well,
they all went far away, so it was a lot of traveling to go see their college games. But they all made good choices. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a proud mom of all the boys. So, but it's so nice to talk to you, and I appreciate you saying yes. And I know that people will enjoy listening and just being inspired by you and all you did, and that you did it so graciously. And it never seemed like a job to you. It was just being mom, Mama Gronk.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Well, and you doing your, you know, Got It From My Mama podcast. I think that is just such a great idea because, you know, we're the reason they're here, and moms do the most for them. And a lot of times the moms are in the shadows. And so it's kind of my book too, is to say, you know, I didn't just sit there watching TV and eating bonbons all day. You know, I did no television. I mean, I did zero television. You know, unless they were on TV, then I would turn it on. But when they were growing up, no, there wasn't time for any of that. So, you know, to have a podcast is saying, you know, these moms, we're all important. Every mom is important. And every mom is proud of their kids, no matter what they do. This was a path that my kids applied for, and it worked out for them. But everybody's dreams don't come true, but you can then shift on to something else that you want to do. You know, just continue on. But I was lucky with that. But it's because of us moms. It's because of us moms.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. Yeah. Particularly with the athlete mom. So often the dads get all the attention, but who's washing the uniforms? Who's doing the carpool? Who's cooking the meals and making those athletes big and strong? Right. I mean, it's
and
the moment
all the
for sure.
You know, they had to have their physicals in school and they have to be done by a certain day.
Well, thank you, Diane. I appreciate your time so much. And you live in one of my favorite parts of Florida. We lived down there for a little while when we were first married. And I love that you're getting to enjoy that beautiful area. And it sounds like you're a little too busy for this stage in life, but I'm sure everyone's so appreciative to have you.
Well, you know what? We really have to be 24/7, 7 days a week at this point. But then when November, December, January, February come around, then we're really quiet. So it's just like a lot. And then we get our time off. So kind of opposite everybody else. So
that made me think of one more question I wanted to ask you. But of course, your married name is Walters. But when people find out that hire you for the home watch business, those 200 and something clients, what is their reaction when they find out that you're actually Mama Gronk?
Well, I don't tell anyone. My name legally is still Gronkowski. But I go by Diane Walters for most things. And, you know, you'll find out or you maybe have found out that all of a sudden people show up at your door and they just or they start mailing you things and they say, oh, here's a letter. And they say, can you send me something that's signed? Well, first of all, I don't have piles of things that are signed sitting around. Secondly is you didn't give me any postage to send it back. So people think that you're supposed to go buy, like, I mean, and you're talking tens of thousands of people And they think you're supposed to get a jersey, get it signed, and then mail it to them on top of it. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, some of the things, or people show up at your door, you know,
and oh, wow.
how did you even get into my community? You know, so maybe they knew somebody else and they got in and then they came over. So,
the other thing you don't have are free tickets to games, right?
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Not to go handing out to people who think you just can put anybody on a list, right?
Right. They just think you have all the stuff sitting around and you're just going to give it to strangers. Like, well, if we wanted to give it to anyone, we have a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins and, you know, then to give it out to strangers. So sometimes that's a hard part, but how do my customers feel about when they find out? I don't tell them. They always find out from someone else. And so when they find out from someone else, I'm not there. And sometimes they don't say too much. Then they kind of look at me and then I'm like, oh gosh, they figured out who I am because I can tell by how they're looking at me.
Yeah. But plus Rob does look a lot like you.
Yeah.
Well, I will let you get on with your day. Thank you again for your time. Bye. I appreciate it so much. This has been really fun to get to talk to you.
But thank you, Jennifer. Good morning talking to you.
Well, Diane sure did make it all sound easy. I'm going to put a link to Diane's book, Outnumbered, in the show notes. We hope you're enjoying this special series of Got It From My Mama. We have some fantastic music interviews coming right back in the next couple of weeks. And don't forget that you can watch Got It From My Mama on YouTube as well. Have a great week, everybody. I want to share with you a miracle skincare product that works overnight. Just kidding. If anyone says that to you, run. Skincare takes time and consistency. However, let me tell you about Barefaced Toning Pads. They don't work overnight, but you can start seeing results as soon as 2 weeks after using them. Okay, so who needs them? Everyone. They're skin smoothing pads that help prevent breakouts, remove dull, dead skin, and improve the absorption of your skincare products. Basically, they reveal a more even, healthy glow with every swipe. They're Barefaced's best-selling products with over 2,000 five-star reviews and over 200,000 units sold just in 2022. So a fan favorite to say the least. They literally could not keep these toning pads in stock for the first 2 years after they launched. So if you are looking for an easy first product to get started with, this is a must-have in your routine. Don't forget, you can use the code MAMA15 to get 15% off your first Barefaced purchase.